This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Right, of course, we're going to continue this discussion about what took place with the Penang Merdeka exhibition that was part of the Georgetown Festival. You know, a lot of developments that have taken place since we spoke about that story yesterday, but maybe just a quick recap as well.
So essentially what happened was that two portraits, one of Nisha Ayub and one of Pankitek, both described as LGBT activists, both draped in the Malaysian flag, were removed from a photography exhibition at the Georgetown Festival at the behest of, I suppose, the Minister of Islamic Affairs as well as the state, secretary.
And of course, you know, more developments, including Datin Paduka Marina Mahathir. She was part of that particular exhibition as well, one of her portraits as well. She was standing in solidarity with the two LGBT activists and has asked the organizers of Stripes and Strokes exhibition to remove her portrait as well.
Yeah, that's right. So lawyer Sharizan Johan has also weighed in. Essentially, his take is that when the state interferes with art, it can be considered censorship. He said if such censorship is to pander to certain sensitivities, then the censorship is wrong. Essentially, you know, I just very quickly want to point out, so those portraits, they came with a caption.
Yep.
Nisha's caption, among other things, it was written soft-spoken, strong, tenacious, first transgender woman to be awarded with the prestigious International Women of Courage Award 2016. And for Pankitek, it was gay icon of Malaysia, put LGBTQ on the agenda, deserves more recognition for his courageous voice.
Well, yesterday we heard from Nisha Ayub herself to get her response on what happened. Now, we'll be speaking to Sharizan Johan later for a legal perspective. But let's cross over right now to Thilaga Sulathire, co-founder of Justice for Sisters, to take a closer look at the justifications that were given by Mujahid Rawa. And Thilaga, thank you very much for being on the Evening Edition. So the clear promotion of LGBT culture was the reason given for the removal of Pankitek and Nisha Ayub's portrait. But of course, some would argue that what the government is calling promotion is really just a representation of a marginalized community. Now, from your perspective, what is the difference between promotion and representation?
I think we need to like really unpack this. What does this promotion, what does that mean, right? Does this mean that LGBT people cannot be in any public space? Because by the virtue of an LGBT person just being in a public space and saying that they are lesbian, bisexual, gay, or transgender, intersex, or queer, or whatever, does that then amount to promotion of like LGBT activities and LGBT lifestyle or whatever? And I think it's really problematic when we use the term LGBT lifestyle, right? Because this just really reduces LGBT experiences to, you know, something like detoxing or something like, you know, having brunch, you know, lifestyle choices that people make. LGBT people, we are not a lifestyle. Our existence is not a lifestyle, yeah? And a lot of times when people say promotion of LGBT lifestyle, it's about who we are as people, you know? Like, it's about, you know, LGBT people just being in any space as who they are. You know, these LGBT people are not actually doing anything aside from, like, showing their love and pride to the country by, like, you know, having the Malaysian flag around them. So when LGBT people are restricted from like participating in any kind of activity that's not LGBT related, right? That sort of restriction removes and erases LGBT people from public spaces. So I think the order itself is really arbitrary. We don't know if there's an actual policy that is being cited. There's a lack of clarity in terms of how this decision was made. There needs to be a little bit more discussion around this matter.
Now, when we spoke about this yesterday evening, the sentiment that came through was that the government doesn't care about LGBT rights because they can afford not to care. Do you agree with this notion that the government, whether old or new, doesn't prioritize the needs of the LGBT community?
The thing is, I do think that they see it as a priority, right? The government's policy on LGBT people is centered on these three things: prevention, rehabilitation or treatment, and enforcement of law. So, you know, this whole promotion of LGBT people is also part of like this larger policy of the government in dealing with LGBT people. So our concern is that this is a really misguided approach, because the thing is, like, these programs are discriminatory, firstly, and secondly, it creates so much harm, right? Programs like rehabilitation of sexual orientation and gender identity is widely discredited. You know, it is not evidence-based. It creates so much harm for not only LGBT people, but for their loved ones and people around them, right? So I think the way that the government is dealing with LGBT people itself is problematic. And we're also seeing this escalating homophobia and transphobia, right? If we haven't even reached 100 days of Malaysia Baru, and in this 100 days, we've seen so many cases of discrimination, from Numan's discrimination to last week some Pizza Hut aurat story that came up, some homophobic comments by Aflin Shauki. So I think it's important for the government to address this, not perpetuate discrimination by removing photos, by saying that LGBT people should only exist in like private sphere. That actually, in fact, creates misinformation and confusion about sexual orientation, gender identity, and LGBT people, right? And then as a result of that, then end up discriminating and violating the rights of LGBT people. And also, like, for this Department of Religious Affairs, you know, they should really be looking at the discrimination that exists within religion. How do they make Islam more inclusive and accepting of diverse people? How do we, like, remove legal barriers for LGBT people? Things that will have actual impact on the lives of people to create more inclusion and diversity in Malaysia.
Well, Tilaga, thank you very much for weighing in and joining us on the evening edition. That was Tilaga Sulathirai, co-founder of Justice for Sisters.
And we'll also have Sharazan Johan on the line a little later to provide a legal perspective on all this and get his thoughts on censorship as well. But in the meantime, yesterday we, of course, addressed this as well with Nisha Ayub. And when we opened up the lines, we got a pretty interesting and impassioned phone call from a caller named Jacqueline.
I think that what's really problematic about what the minister has done and said is that he's essentially saying that Pakatan Harapan thinks it's okay to erase difference in Malaysian society. That's essentially what they've done. They have removed images of people who might be different from the mainstream from a public space, essentially saying, you do not matter, and it is okay to keep you invisible, and it's okay to silence you. And in many ways, that just adds the criminalization of people who are different from us.
We're going to be speaking to Shahrizan Johan. He's a lawyer, to give us a legal perspective. Shah, good to have you on the program. As mentioned, the Minister in Charge of Religious Affairs, Mujahid Rawa, said that action must be taken if there is a breach of law. Now, I think what everyone wants to know is what that breach of law was that would allow the Religious Affairs Minister to order the festival organizers to actually take down those two portraits.
Actually, there isn't it's not a ruling. It's basically a situation where a request was made and the state secretary complied with that request. It's not as if there is a ruling made or, you know, there is a order that was made that came from the minister. There is no jurisdiction in terms of the minister telling or asking the portraits to be taken down. What has happened is that a request was made and the state secretary appears to have complied with that request.
You've spoken about how state interference in art is censorship. Can you elaborate on what that means?
Well, it's censorship because when the state interferes in art and by interfering in terms of prohibiting or in terms of making changes to a particular art, then that would be considered as censorship. And it's not to say that censorship as a whole is unjustified. There are certain justifiable censorship, even in human rights jurisprudence. For example, when you talk about pornography, for example, to say that it is art, and you know, the state can actually step in to make such censorship, and it would be justifiable. But in the case of censorship, where it is to essentially ensure that certain sensitivities are not offended, then such censorship cannot actually be justified and defended. And in such situations, it is unacceptable for the state to try and censor art.
Right. So, Shah, moving forward, do you have any suggestions on the types of changes that need to take place within the government and perhaps within our understanding of the law in order to avoid or move away from these incidents?
I think, in the first place, I think there needs to be a better appreciation of what is being displayed. You know, when you talk about art, for example, you need to understand, you know, the artist. Why is it that the artist feels that he or she wants to portray a certain thing? And to use that argument that it is, you know, promoting certain lifestyles and all those things, I think that cannot be used as a justification. So what needs to happen is that I think we need to go to the root cause of all this. There is a certain discomfort. In fact, some are even quite violent objections to what is seen as LGBT agenda or whatever it is. I think what needs to happen is that we need to start speaking to each other. We need to start engaging with all the various groups to at least find a common ground when it comes to these issues. And what can that common ground be? I think that common ground can be that, you know, you might not agree with their identity or if you want to call it lifestyle or whatever, but let's agree that they have a place in Malaysia. Whatever their sexual identities may be, they are Malaysians and they are entitled to basic human rights, the right to not be discriminated, the right to free speech, the right to assembly and so on and so forth. I think let's try and find that common ground instead of having the zero-sum game of, you know, saying that, oh, Malaysia can only have space for certain types of people and other types of people have no place in this Malaysia. I don't think that is the way to go.
The reaction to this from the government has been quite firm. Is it fair to take this as a sign of things to come in terms of how they're going to handle LGBT issues?
I think this government is, I mean, in a lot of other ways, they are going to be quite progressive. But in terms of LGBT issues, I think at the end of the day, real politics will come up on top. And I think when it comes down to it, if they need to take, you know, certain actions which are not considered progressive and are not in line with the progressive agenda, then they will take that because we know that real politics means that they still, you know, have to answer to a quite a large conservative electorate. I think that's where I think we need to understand the reality of the political situation right now, and those of us with this progressive agenda must try to work within this framework, but at the same time ensure that, you know, the agenda keeps being pushed out, and we do not compromise on the agenda.
Well, Shah, thank you very much for calling in to the Evening Edition and for giving us your thoughts on that. That was lawyer Sharizan Johan with his views on the removal of the portraits of the two LGBT activists at the Georgetown Lit Festival exhibition. We're taking your calls, 03-771-09000. That's the number to call. Tweet us at BFM Radio, or if you prefer WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.